Well, I'm quite sure that everybody is actually really, really desperate for the drink that we were promised by Tristan, but it may not actually be ready out there. So I'll try and mop up some of the gap in time while they're setting up. But I wanted to start by thanking Tristan and Mary very much for following up last year's very successful session with another Teaching the Codex 2. I think if we follow on with Star Wars, maybe we've still got a long way to go, and maybe sort of pre-Teaching the Codex, or maybe the outreach to primary schools was a little bit of that. But to thank them not only for organising today, but for how they've developed the Teaching the Codex website, which, if you haven't had a look at it, it's growing all the time. And it contains an increasing number of goodies in the form of blogs and also teachable features. And although these may seem sort of serendipitous in their subject matter and range, I think that very serendipity can be useful. And it reminded me of the recommendation of Kenneth Sizem, the old English scholar here in Oxford in the last century, who advocated the undertaking of, quote, the irregular study of manuscripts. And he wrote, "There's something to be said for the pre-systematic way of turning over one manuscript after another with no set purpose except to follow up anything of interest that might arise." Now, I think the availability of so much digital material and the forcing of graduate research into 3 years can make us perhaps be terribly focused with what we do. Got our research topic, we've got the manuscripts we've got to look at, we'll do it in a very organised way, very much to time. And what can be lost is this more grazing approach. And I think what the Teaching the Codex website allows us to do is some of that sort of grazing. And at the same time, I'd recommend another local website, and there may be more out there as well, doing similar kinds of things. My colleague Orietta de Rolde in the English faculty at Cambridge has a website which is called the Manuscripts Lab. And again, it's encouraging people to put up informal blogs, interesting things they've come across in a manuscript, a particular research problem, using the greater informality of the of a blog to write about such things. And if it's on something one doesn't know anything about, it's hugely interesting. Or one of the I forget if it's a teachable, I think it's a teachable feature on the Teaching the website, Teaching the Codex website, a marvellous introduction to manuscript catalogues by, and I forget the name of the person at the Bodleian, and if you're here, forgive me, but hugely helpful. Now, there's a paradox in manuscript study in the requirement on the one hand for methodological rigour, but on the other hand, this benefit of a more serendipitous, almost indiscriminate alertness to whatever might prove grist to the mill in understanding the form and function, the very varied form and function of manuscripts and other written artefacts, and the history of their production, ownership, and use. Now, last year, the focus was more in the Teaching the Codex 1, the focus was more on training and method, especially at the research level, and how to square this circle of, on the one hand, the different needs of research students for training in various specialist skills with the relative paucity of expert teaching resources. So I think the atmosphere last time was one of grim resolve. The situation is not good. We must do. We must seek to improve it. Today's conference, I think, has cast light on another paradox. On the one hand, and on the deficit side, the curricular squeeze at undergraduate level and also before that at schools on more established skills, especially in languages, but we were hearing from the musicologists about a squeeze on the teaching of the history of Western music, less musical literacy generally, in the face of ever widening interpretations of the disciplines in the humanities. And all of this presents additional hurdles to teaching the Middle Ages. But on the other, we've got an encouragement to engage with interdisciplinarity, with materiality, and with the digital humanities, all of which provide rich opportunities for teaching with medieval manuscripts and stimulating interest in them. And that's been a very, very positive message of today. And it's been wonderful. The two sessions I sat in on were the ones from the musicologists and from the art historians, and to see how much is being done at undergraduate level to teach students either about medieval manuscripts or to teach with medieval manuscripts or even with images on them has been extremely heartening. To teach the history of a particular musical form with an image of that form and what that image can do to help students really digest and understand and remember, in this case, I think it was the form of a ballad, where they might have read about it and remembered it was AAB and it's three stanzas and it's seven lines. But seeing how it works, being talked through the visual layout of a ballad, months later, apparently in revision sessions, they could still remember it. Also, the focus today has been, on the whole, less at the graduate research level, more on the undergraduate level and at schools. So looking at all sorts of different strategies to engage students' interests. I've taken so many notes of pages and pages of ideas of how to engage pupils' and students' interests. We've heard about the value of active learning, of singing from a facsimile, from singing from a medieval book, making your own manuscript. And I think that I found that extremely valuable. But also valuable today, I think, has been the interdisciplinarity of the day, of bringing people together from different disciplines and hearing about their experiences. So I think this is one of the most valuable things about these Teaching the Codex days is meeting people, getting to know people, so that the history of the book, one person said, is incredibly interdisciplinary. We can't all be masters of the different disciplines involved. The next best thing is knowing who to ask, or asking them for a basic toolkit so that you can describe to them in an email what it is you've seen and what you need to know more about. And I think more conversations of this sort will lead to more teachable features on websites like the Teaching the Codex one. Different disciplines are coming up with different teaching strategies, and I think something which has always been impressed upon me is how transferable skills are in manuscript studies. My own supervisor, Malcolm Parks, said it was very important if you were working on the early Middle Ages to also learn about manuscripts from the late Middle Ages, because Manuscripts from a period where you have richer survivors may tell you things you didn't think you didn't know about manuscripts from a period where much, much less survives. And with the, with music as well, their experience of an art form in which the manuscript form is still very current. Composers, well, some composers now compose in straight away in digital form, but an awful lot is still with a pencil on manuscript paper. And what you may be able to teach or indeed learn by analysing more modern musical scores from where we've got richer contextual material that might inform us with questions to ask about the medieval survivals where we have much less contextual material, I think could be an interesting way forward. Other things that emerged from other disciplines, they can help sharpen our analytical tools. Just to take one example, Margaret Bent explained about that with a music manuscript, particularly a polyphonic music manuscript, where from the 14th century onwards, the different parts are all disposed on a single opening so that the entire piece in its separate parts can be sung from that one opening, means there are very particular contingencies involved which have an impact on the relationship between a person commissioning a manuscript and what the manuscript looks like, what goes into it, so that a person with musical skill will have to be much more actively involved in the design of a polyphonic music manuscript than may be the case with a Book of Hours, where perhaps the person commissioning the manuscript might have more input. So different kinds of manuscripts may get us to think about things in different ways. Again, the somebody with musical knowledge copying musical notation may introduce different kinds of textual variant or error because of how their hearing, their oral knowledge may play a role in the way they transcribe the notation. And that, again, I think, makes one think about our critical analysis when we're looking at textual criticism involving words. I think I'd just conclude by saying, after today, it becomes even more clear how manuscripts or written artifacts of various kinds are things in which an awful lot of interest can be stimulated, but they require for their full understanding tools of analytical tools and critical means of interpreting them. We can't get away from that. And these are most important at the research level. And so I would hope that the appetite, the interest for medieval written artifacts that seems to be ever increasing, and the democratization of such material through digitization, through the Twitter sphere, through wonderful exhibitions, I hope that that can be used by people to make arguments for greater teaching resources in these disciplines, and that our experience of coming together from the disciplines will help us collaborate to make those arguments. It still strikes me as utterly baffling that Oxford does not have a university lecturer or reader or professor in Latin paleography, and yet the need for it is so apparent. So whatever the constraints of university structures and schools and heads of division, I think days like today need to be advertised and broadcast abroad. And so I once again come back to thanking Tristan and Mary for facilitating that, and to all their helpers, to Alex and Jessica, and to Julia for making it possible here in Merton. A huge thanks to you, and I'd ask you to join me in giving them a round of applause to show your appreciation.